Our New Testament passage comes from Paul's letter to the church gathered in Colossae. It is often a passage often read at weddings. Perhaps it was read at your wedding. It's from the third chapter, verses 12 through 17. I encourage you to listen for the word of God. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There was a Baptist pastor named John Fawcett who lived in a little market town way in the north of England. It was the 1700s, and he got an offer to succeed a famous preacher in a London church for a handsome salary. He accepted the invitation, loaded his wagon with all his worldly goods, and preached his farewell sermon, anticipating leaving later that day. But the tears and the affection of his congregation made him change his mind and stay. That experience inspired him to pen the hymn we'll sing in a moment, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." By the way, Noel Piercy shared with me, and I know this is a tidbit of information that will enrich your life, you can put any limerick to the tune of "Blessed be the tie that binds," and it will work. Try it. Anyway, our stewardship focus this morning is those ties that bind. How lives are changed through nurture, through education, through fellowship. How we support each other, how we care for each other, how we educate our young and join in fellowship and challenge each other and hold each other accountable. You may want to look at your insert if you haven't already. Approximately 43% of our annual budget supports our nurture, educational, and fellowship ministry. Blessed be the tie that binds. Do you like being bound? We don't like ties, do we? We don't like to be tied down. Ties bind. Ties constrict. Whether it's a necktie around your throat or a deadline to meet, ties get in the way. For example, think about your family ties. I suspect that in most families there are members we wish we weren't tied to. Irma Bombeck, who could put a humorous spin on anything, wrote a book called Family, The Ties That Bind and Gag. To be truthful, family ties can be downright inconvenient. Or think about that ancient practice of RSVPing. Yes, you heard that right, RSVPing. Have you noticed how the whole notion of RSVP is practically passé? Sometimes it seems you have to chase people down to secure a commitment, to see if they're coming to your party. That's because we don't want to be tied down. After all, something better might come along. We prefer not to commit. Yet the Bible tells us time and time again to bind ourselves. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you." And in the scripture passage we just read, the Apostle Paul says to bind yourselves with love. Anybody here ever been ziplining? Yeah, a few of you have. It can be a lot of fun and can offer breathtaking vistas as well as breathtaking speed on those lines. Well, when you go ziplining, the first thing the guide does is to have you step into a harness after signing your life away. The first thing the guide does is have you step into a harness and have these straps encircle the tops of your legs and the tops of your arms, all cinched together in the middle with a special hook called a carabiner. The guide then tightens the harness straps to a position beyond snug. It is only after binding you in this harness that the guide hooks your carabiner to the zip line. You are about as tied to that cable and that cable to those anchors as you can get. Only then, after committing your life to all those straps and lines and wires, those ties that bind, do you step off the platform. And paradoxically, because you are willing to submit yourself to all those ties, you can fly. Because you are willing to be harnessed in and hooked up and bound by all the straps, you can experience something wonderful. Putting on love is like that. Putting on love binds us, yet enables us to fly through the treetops, as it were. Carol Strickland, one of my associate pastors in a previous church, once called love the biggest tie of all, because love joins you to others. It fastens you to them, binds you to them. And when you're tied to others, it means you are giving up a part of yourself. You're giving up some of your wants, your freedom, your independence. We tend to think of love as a warm, cozy feelings towards someone. But love, at least in the biblical sense, has to do with action. Not feeling, but action. It means laying down your desires, your priorities, your will, your life for another. It means getting up in the middle of the night with a sick child and feeling dead tired the next day. It means being up all night trying to get a video to work so that the people in the congregation could see it the next morning. It means putting up decorations for Vacation Bible School instead of watching the game on ESPN. Love is a great big tie, and Paul says to put on love. And the strange thing about putting on love is this: the very thing that binds us turns out to be something really wonderful. It's a paradox. Love is binding, yet love is freeing. Love ties us down, yet love cuts loose something in us that enables us to soar. Kind of like marriage. We call it getting hitched. We call it tying the knot. We even call it putting on the old ball and chain. But a good marriage, a marriage founded on love, is a wonderful experience. Precisely because we are tied down, we are somehow freed to become better people than we otherwise might have been. Precisely because we have vowed to forsake all others, we find our lives richer, deeper, wider. When we commit to another person in a marriage, we are tethered by loving actions. And Paul lists them in the text we just read: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. All those ties of putting the other first, of swallowing your pride, of giving the benefit of the doubt, of compromise, of sacrifice, all those ties wind up being a big bow on a wonderful gift that you give your spouse or your parent or your child or your best friend. It's the paradox of love. It's counterintuitive that something that ties us down, that restricts, that restrains, also lets us fly. It's really illogical, isn't it? To the point of being absurd. As Stephen Matson says, and this is the second time I'm quoting him this week, Jesus-centered Christianity is illogical in that it requires inordinate amounts of self-sacrificial love. To the point of being absurd, absurdly gracious, absurdly hospitable, absurdly kind, patient, peaceful, self-controlled, and giving. And doing all this, following Jesus, is hard. It calls for losing one's life so that it might be gained, which might explain why so many Christians choose to follow and trust and put their hope in so many other things besides Jesus. Friends, love binds, but as Paul says, It binds everything together in perfect harmony. This love, this binding love, you do know, I am sure, has its source in God. This willingness to tie oneself down, to empty oneself, to let go of one's own will originates in the heart of God. God knows such love is more than inconvenient. God knows it's expensive. God knows it's costly. God knows it's sacrificial. We recognize that each time we gather around this table and say those words, "This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you." So in this season of stewardship, we are reminded to put on love. We may not like the idea because we don't like ties. And yes, belonging to a church costs us what we hold dear, our time, our desire to be in control, and yes, our money. But the amazing thing is this, these costly ties of love somehow bind everything together in perfect harmony. Even here at the First Presbyterian Church at Caldwell. One more last thing, and it's really amazing. Listen to the way Paul ends this letter. "I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you." When Paul wrote, "Remember my chains," he wasn't speaking poetically or metaphorically. He was speaking literally. He was in prison. He was tied down. He was bound with chains because of his faith. Yet he kept right on writing letters to and praying for and encouraging the church. He was tied down by love. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Let's see how those ties play out in changing lives through our educational, pastoral, nurture, and fellowship ministry.